Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Happy hump day. Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
He's never said that.
Did I lean into the hump? I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. You see Pete Blackburn standing by. We're going to talk playoffs with him to start the show. But before we do that, make sure you smash that like button, subscribe to our YouTube page as well. Podcast listeners, like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. And please, please, please take 30 seconds to leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And here's the fun part. As long as you leave it five stars, you could talk as much shit as you want in the actual review. All that matters is the five-star thing.
Stars.
So if you truly hate us.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you can roast the hell out of us in the actual review, but just make sure it's five stars. So
that's, yeah.
if that helps you out, if that makes you feel better about the review, please.
I'll actually read those comments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And do the same for the What Chaos Pod on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app. And with that, we're going to bring in our buddy Pete Blackburn. One half or one third? I would say one third. Sean's a big part of the show. One third of the What Chaos Podcast. What's up, Pete? How's it going?
What's going on? Yeah, Sean is the gasoline that makes us go. So he is absolutely one third of the show.
Is DJ the oil of the engine then?
He's an oil man, famously.
Well, we'll start here because the other day I had to tune in because of Sean. I heard what he said last week, that if the Sabres name Lindy Ruff their head coach, he's just going to be completely dejected. So immediately could not wait to hear his response. And is he doing all right? I didn't check in today. How is Sean handling things?
He's not being as dramatic as I would hope that he was going to be when they hired Lindy Ruff. I mean, but talk about an all-time terrible year for a hockey fan. He's a Coyotes fan and Sabres fan. So on one side, your team no longer exists. And on the other side, your other team becomes the most embarrassing team, takes over the most embarrassing throne, I would say, of current NHL teams, and then hires a coach who is a million years old. Who actually isn't a million years old, because we figured out that Lindy Ruff was only 64 years old, which, does that surprise you guys as much as it surprised us?
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Yeah, figuring that he was
only 64
coaching
years
in the 90s.
Old. I would have thought that Lindy Ruff was 130 years old.
Yeah.
Should run for office. I mean, just for those that didn't listen to What Chaos this week, and if you didn't, shame on you. Takeaway here is Buffalo just kind of needed to get their shit together, right? Like, they need that coach to maybe take them from B to C, and then when it's time to win, maybe they make another move. Maybe Lindy Ruff retires. I don't know. I feel like you've done this before. You know the guy before. Kevin Adams has been there forever too. I feel like if you're making a change, you want to just kind of start fresh, don't you?
I was hoping that they would. I was hoping for Craig Berube. I guess the question becomes, They said that they talked to like a dozen coaches. How many of them wanted to coach in Buffalo? How desirable is that job? And how many of that group fit the boxes that they wanted to check with? Experience, pedigree, accountability, and kind of that veteran presence that you want in the room. And ultimately, they landed back with Lindy. I don't love it because I want to see some Sabres moves that seem un-Buffalo-like, and going back to a Buffalo well is the most Sabres thing of all time. I described it on the show is that anytime the Sabres need to make a change, they go into their Rolodex and they pick like the first card that's on top of the Rolodex and they call that person and go with either somebody who's very, very familiar or already in the building. And that seems like a problem for Buffalo. So that's why the Lindy hire, on top of Lindy being somebody that I believe is not very good of a coach anymore. And I think that the clock on Lindy expires pretty quickly. That's why I'm kind of disappointed that Buffalo went to Lindy Ruff.
I want to pick your brain on this real quick because we saw the Joel Quenneville redemption tour is getting started. What was that, 2 weeks ago when he was on with Cameron Strick? And it feels like if he was going to get his chance to get back in the league, and it feels at this point almost inevitable, that Buffalo might have been a good situation for him because it is not a major market. It's not New York. It's not Chicago. It's not LA. It's not Boston. It's a lower profile team that is on the cusp of being competitive and maybe should be competitive already. Maybe not cup contenders yet, but approaching that level. Were you surprised? I wonder, maybe you know, was Joel Quenneville among those names? And are you, do you think he's going to be back in the league before, sooner than later?
I don't know if he was among those names. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that he fits the mold of exactly what Kevin Adams was describing after the post Granato firing, like pedigree, experience for sure. You know, I look at Quenneville and I think that he should be back in the league. I hope he's back in the league at some point. I would like to see him get another shot. I look at a team like Columbus. Columbus, like they, I think they might be a little gun shy in going after veteran coaches who have a little bit of controversy attached to them. I know it's quite a different controversy when you're talking about Quenneville and Mike Babcock, but maybe they might be a little bit gun shy turning to a guy like Quenneville. But when I look at Coach Q, it seemed like he would be awesome in Columbus for a lot of the same reasons that you kind of just pointed to Buffalo being an appropriate landing spot. I also wonder, like, does a team like New Jersey go after Quenneville? Does a team like New Jersey go after Craig Berube? I think that's one of the most attractive landing spots currently on the market right now is New Jersey. That's a team that a coach can go in and have like aspirations of contending right away. So that's going to be a real interesting landing spot for me.
Well, the playoffs are off to quite the beginning already. And in the big one of the big central division matchups, you have the Jets and the Avalanche. NHL All-Star leader in wins, Alexander Georgiev, taking a beating after giving up seven goals in game one. But shouldn't the bigger story now be that Connor Hellebuyck has given up 10 goals in two games of the Avalanche?
Yeah, I mean, and that's pretty surprising. I don't know if it's the bigger story just because when you look at the larger body of works, you have way more faith in Hellebuyck, having this be an outlier for Hellebuyck than it is for Georgiev. Like, Georgiev has been a problem for the Avalanche, may continue to be a problem for the Avalanche. Hellebuyck, I'm not so worried about. I think that it's more from Winnipeg's standpoint, you don't want to open things up and you don't want to get into a track meet with the Colorado Avalanche because they have the higher end skill. They have guys who can take over a series. If you're Winnipeg, your calling card has been playing pretty sound defensive hockey in front of Connor Hellebuyck and elevating Connor Hellebuyck, who is already an elite goaltender, elevating him that much more. And they just haven't been able to do that through the first couple of games.
Well, we have talked about this for a few years where just the quality of goaltending in the league in general is down. I'm just wondering if we're making the shift now where you just have to outscore your own goalie. It's because Hellebuyck and Ottinger are the two you think when you look through the playoff brackets of these guys are the ones who are going to make a huge difference. And so far they haven't. And I don't know if maybe the game has just become so offensive that you just kind of hope and pray that your goalie can keep you in things while you score enough goals.
Not in the playoffs. Like, you got to play defensive hockey. There are very few examples of a team overcoming bad defense and bad goaltending and going on a serious cup run and winning a cup. Like, you have to have a incredibly skilled group to overcome that. The only team that I can remember in recent memory, Colorado Avalanche from a few years ago, like they were just so good in their forward group and just like as a whole unit that they, it didn't matter that they got average goaltending. They were still able to win the Stanley Cup. So like maybe you can win a round or two by outscoring your problems. You can't win the Stanley Cup.
Well, a team that figures to have maybe the best goaltending situation in the postseason are the Boston Bruins, and I'm surprised we've gone this long with Pete without asking him how he feels about the purpose. Bruins and Maple Leafs series through two games so far.
It's been up and down for sure, which is kind of what I expected. You can't go a Bruins-Leaf series without getting some wild swings. Bruins obviously dominated game one, thought they looked great. They got depth scoring from a bunch of guys that you would not expect. Great goaltending from Jeremy Swayman. Thought Linus Ullmark was good in game two. That inspired some confidence. But in front of Ullmark, the team was terrible, especially for the last 40 minutes. Had no jump, just weren't winning battles, looked horrible on the wall, weren't physical, weren't forechecking, weren't taking good routes off the puck. And they got outskilled and outplayed for pretty drastically for 40 minutes. So Matthews looked like a monster. That's a bit concerning. But when you're talking Bruins, Toronto, there's going to be another massive swing at some point, and it's going to go back in the Bruins' favor. You're going to say, oh, Leafs chokers again. You set your watch to it every single time. So I would expect a nice answer from the Bruins in game three.
Do you expect them to just continue to switch off Swayman and Ullmark? I know it's kind of started to be the trend the last few years that you need more than one goaltender to kind of get you through a postseason. It's rare to see a guy get all 16 wins for a cup winner, but do you expect them to continue to go back and forth between the two, or do you think one of the two will be the full-time starter at some point?
I would expect alternating until you have a really strong case for sticking with one of them, whether that means an unbelievable performance from one of them versus a horrendous performance from another one. Like I expect one of them to make a case with strong play to get the net. I would be surprised if there was a game where one of them looks so bad that you said this is the other one's net from this point on. So like I said, we've gotten strong performances from each one of them to start the series, which is a good sign. I would expect a consistent rotation unless like there's a shutout in the mix.
I'm like the one person in the world that doesn't hate the Maple Leafs. That's not a Maple Leafs fan. And I was complimentary of them for bringing in Domi and Bertuzzi and, I would have brought Ryan Reeves in for 1 year, not what they did, but trying to change the chemistry a little bit of the team and bring in some guys with a little bit of swag that are maybe not so fragile as some of the other guys in Toronto. And the way they responded in game two, like all three of those guys were a factor. Even Ryan Reeves was a factor in that game. I know it's one win. I know they might not win the series, but have you seen a little bit of a different DNA from Toronto so far?
Positively and negatively, because in game one, it seemed like Max Domi entered into game one and was like, I am going to be the guy everybody hates. And I think he took it too far and his own fan base started hating him. They were like, what are you doing? You idiots, stop. And he may have gone a little too far in that direction. He certainly reeled it in game two. I thought he was very effective. He's been really annoying. He's just, the guy that you need him to be when it comes to playoff hockey. So yeah, their makeup is different, and that's kind of why, you look at a lot of things that are similar to years past with the Leafs in terms of they're making their money on their skill players. They're making their money on their forwards and their scoring. Their back end is the problem. Their goaltending is a big question mark. But what does have a different feel to it this year is you're not going to bully them in a series because they have guys like Domi, like Reeves, like Bertuzzi. And I think that matters.
Well, if you're looking to place any money on the NHL playoffs, especially the Bruins and Leafs series. Do it through our friends at Circa Sports. You're going to love Circa Sports for their tight money line splits and low hold models, because at Circa Sports, they will strive to keep a game at a minus 110 split, for example, on their menu, unlike other sports books, which may have the same split at minus 115 or minus 120. And that's because Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets compared to their other books. The other thing that sets them apart is their high app limits. They do not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. Circa wants you to try and take as much money from them as possible. They also encourage bettors to download and explore all other sports betting apps available and compare the lines and see that you are always going to be getting the best from Circa. And you're also always going to be getting the best customer service from Circa, because there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chatbots. Boo. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that run the main Circa Sportsbook in Circa, or at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So what you want to do is download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app. And sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or text GAMB, G-A-M-B, to 833-234, or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
And speaking of great customer service, remember a couple months ago, Herb found a cheaper ticket than he found on Game Time? Got in touch with them, and within 5 minutes, Game Time beat the deal. Mm-hmm. That is one of the great features that our friends at Game Time offer you, because you should not have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Whether you're buying sports tickets, music tickets, comedy tickets, or theater tickets, Game Time is a fast and easy way to get in all those events. They've got their great views from your seat. So if you're at a venue you're maybe not familiar with, or a venue that's not traditionally used for comedy or a concert or whatever, you can see exactly what those seats are going to look like. They've got the lowest price guarantee, like we said, event cancellation protection, and job loss protection, which is huge.
How about that?
Because sometimes people are stupid at work. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. They are obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last minute seats. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're talking to Pete Blackburn from the What Chaos podcast. Make sure you're following them on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. As we, you know, wonder what's happening with the Leafs and the Bruins and all these other teams, man, the Oilers look good. They just looked phenomenal in that game. And I wonder if this is finally the year that McDavid and company get over the hump and take the cup home, because I know it's a small sample size, but holy shit, they were flying.
Yeah, that was as impressive a game one as you could have hoped from Edmonton, minus Darnell Nurse scoring on his own net. You might want to clean that up. But I mean, Edmonton has a pretty decent path this year to making it happen. And I know the West is going to be tough, but they got a pretty favorable draw in the first round. And so the Kings, I could see this. I expect a closer series from this point out, but I could see this being like a 5-game series in which the next 4 games are way closer than we saw. But Edmonton's just a better team than LA is, and I just have more faith. Like at some point, Edmonton's gonna have like a stupid, childish game, and they'll lose it. But they're just so much better of a team.
Corey Perry is going to yell at Evander Kane before this series is over again. It's going to happen. That other Western Conference series, are the Vancouver Canucks done without Thatcher Demko? I mean, they had 84 shot attempts last night against the Predators and only 18 shots on goal. That is absolutely ridiculous. And out of those 18, only one goes in. I mean, if there's one team that couldn't afford to lose their starter, it's the Canucks, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like, Casey DeSmith didn't look bad in game two. It was more the play in front of him. And whether there's a cause and effect there, I'm not totally sure. You do know that teams sometimes play differently in front of a goaltender. And so maybe there's an effect there. But when I look at what happened in game two for Vancouver, goaltending's pretty far down the list of issues that I took with that team. They weren't hitting. They weren't physical. All of their shots were coming from the point and the outside. That's why you see those massive, massive shot block totals. Like, the Predators made the appropriate adjustments and put themselves in lanes to block those shots. But Vancouver didn't make the adjustments to get around that. And they just kept trying the same shit over and over and over again. So, like, they need to be better about making those in-game adjustments. I think Andrew Brunette is a great coach and doing a whole lot with a roster that probably isn't. I think I would say that they're overachieving with that roster. And I really like the Predators in, like, their ability to grind out games and do it in a Barry Trotz-esque way, because you look at the kind of win that they got in game two, very reminiscent of the New York Islanders under Barry Trotz, in just that they would bend and not break, and they would take advantage of the few opportunities that they had and sort of drive an opponent crazy. So I already had my concerns about Vancouver and their playoff inexperience and sort of their makeup not translating super well to the playoff game. Now, without Demko, with Elias Pettersson looking really, really ineffective and possibly injured, that's a massive, massive red flag for me for Vancouver in the first round.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Pete. 30 block shots from Nashville last night. And I also think, you know, you mentioned Vancouver's inexperience. Another thing that scares me as a playoff team is playing against a team that had no expectations, that has nothing to lose, that everything that Nashville achieves from now until the end of the year is gravy for them. That's scary, too, because Vancouver's been in good position all year. They haven't been in that playoff mode where Nashville's been for a month and a half, and we saw what that did for the Florida Panthers. Now, not comparing the rosters of the Panthers and the Predators by any means, but you see that advantage that being in playoff mode for a month or a month and a half gives teams early in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that if you're looking at the entire playoff bracket, the team that has nothing to lose is the Nashville Predators, right? Because nobody expected them to be there. They're kind of early on in their like retooling timeline. So this is kind of found money for Nashville, and there's not a lot of pressure on them, and nothing's more dangerous than somebody with nothing to lose, especially this time of year. So I think that's a pretty, pretty good point.
Well, we've been already looking ahead to next season. I mean, pretty much since October, but like, we've really been focusing on while the rest of the league is in playoff mode. And I put together a list of realistic free agent targets for the Blackhawks this summer. You know, they're not going to go get Sam Reinhardt for 8 years. They're not going to get Steven Stamkos, even though we'd love to see it.
Like, why not?
Well,
yeah, why not?
I don't think
I don't think he wants to come here. I honestly don't think Steven Stamkos, after all those years of success, is going to be like, yeah, you know what I want to do? I want to go rebuild. That sounds like fun. So, I mean, I'd love it. But so I put together a list of realistic targets, both fits what the Hawks are trying to do and would be willing to come here. And one of those guys is Jake DeBrusk from the Bruins. I think he'd be a really good fit here in with the Blackhawks. Had a big game one in that series. But as I throw that out there, I get some blowback about, well, he disappears half the games, he's lazy, his work ethic, he's a character, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the same things people said here about Dylan Strome, but those things have seemed to disappear since he's gone to Washington. So as a guy that's paid a lot more close attention to Jake DeBrusk's career than I have, what is your, take on DeBrusk overall? And do you think he is going to be hitting the open market this summer?
I do expect him to hit the open market. My big question when it comes to Jake DeBrusk and signing Jake DeBrusk is, what role do you want Jake DeBrusk to play, and how much are you willing to pay him? Those are two extremely important questions for Jake DeBrusk, because I like Jake DeBrusk as a player, but there is no question that his inconsistency is a problem. or it's, you know, a detractor. He goes quiet for long stretches, and he is somebody that it does seem to affect him, like mentally. He gets in his own head, and he has to work his way out of it. That's a problem. So, like, if you're expecting Jake DeBrus to be a top six forward on a team that is going to contend at some point, I think that's not great. Like, I would much rather see Jake DeBrus end up in a place like, say, Edmonton, which, you know, I know that there's connections there, but like, he can just be a role player in Edmonton on a team that's contending. And I think that that is a much better fit for a guy like DeBrus versus playing an integral role on a rebuilding team.
So could the, and I'm, again, you're the Bruins expert, so why we're asking you, could his inconsistency be tied to opportunity or his inconsistency in a lineup, or is it just he's a guy that just will disappear for stretches at a time?
I mean, he's had a varying degree of opportunity for years in Boston, and that sort of tag on DeBrus hasn't really changed. He goes quiet for long stretches, no matter where he's playing in the lineup, no matter who he's playing with. It just happens.
Okay. Mm. All right. I might have to edit my list.
Cross him off then.
We'll cross him off.
Again, like I like Jake DeBrus as a player. I like him as a person, but I think you have to know what you're signing up for and how much it may cost you, especially in an open market kind of situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, right. Like Greg said, the idea is trying to be, because what happened with Dylan Strom was they kept playing him on a third and fourth line, and he wasn't checking or defending at all. And they're like, what are you doing? Well, it's not the kind of player he is. Mm-hmm. But it sounds right. Like so when Strom gets top six time in Washington, the numbers add up and add up and add up, but it doesn't seem like that would be the case necessarily with DeBrus. So, yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. It's we heard, I don't know if you paid any attention to the end of season Hawks pressers. I'm sure it was hot news nationwide. But Seth Jones was sort of talking about it's tough to get guys on 1 or 2 year deals to really buy in when they're sort of looking ahead to their next contracts and they're looking ahead to, I got to get mine. And it seemed like he was probably talking about 1 or 2 specific guys on the team, which we're still trying to kind of figure out here. Do you kind of buy into that? Like on a rebuild, you know, this is what the Hawks are going to be doing. You've got Bedard and Korchinski, and now Nazar are all going to hit free agency in 2 years. So everything's going to kind of line up there. Do you think it's risky to bring guys in on those deals, or you just got to find the right kind of guy?
I mean, I think you got to find the right kind of guy, and you got to find, I think that that's kind of the bonus of those like 2 year deals is that if somebody comes in and you're like, all right, he's just here for his next contract, he's not really buying in, then, you know, it's just a bridge player. But like, you can find the players who do buy into that system and buy into the bigger picture. And those are the guys that you want to stick around. There's definitely an element of truth to it. And in certain cases, it's hard to hold it against guys. But I don't think that the contract situation should necessarily prohibit a player from buying in to a system, to a rebuild, especially like if you're looking for your next contract, buying into what is currently going on in the organization that you play for is a good way to get that next contract and not have to move your crap. Like if you're refusing to buy in because a team is rebuilding, you're looking for your next contract elsewhere. And that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we saw Peter Mrazek and Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson get in-season two-year contract extensions here in Chicago because of not only the way that they were playing, exactly, but also the roles that they played within, you know, within the locker room and the kind of character and attitude that they brought to the team being on, you know, expiring deals at the beginning of the year. And Foligno, too, kind of said pretty much, you know, the same thing you're alluding to here, Pete, is that, you know, your contract situation shouldn't determine how you're going to act as a professional hockey player. Like, you have to be a pro no matter if you're on a 7-year deal or a 1-year deal. Like, you have to come in and accept your role. And it sounds like, coming from the player's perspective, that is something that the leadership group stressed to, you know, Blackhawks coaches and management and in their exit interviews and conversations, that they need to have guys that have the character and the attitude of wanting to come in and make a difference in a team mentality rather than an individual mentality. And GM Kyle Davidson agreed and said, yeah, like, we're looking for guys that are going to start pushing this forward from a national perspective that you have of Chicago and the Blackhawks and where they're at. When the players and Davidson sound like they're saying the same things about, we need to be better, can't have another season like this year, do you believe that they're set up to take that next step, or do you kind of think like this is still a few years away?
I mean, a lot of it depends on the summer, right? Like, you know, this team could look drastically different after the work that they do this summer. But I think that they're saying all the right things, and there's encouragement there. You know, especially like going back to that last conversation, like especially with a young rebuilding team, if you have guys that are just looking out for number one and looking for their next contract, sends not such a great message to the younger guys. And you know, when you're trying to establish a new culture on a team, especially like the Blackhawks, like where culture has been up in the air and they're trying to kind of move forward with a clean slate, you want to sniff out bad habits, you want to sniff out guys who are only looking out for number one, moving against a team culture. That's really important right now. And that's why I think that you're seeing, and for good reason, the Blackhawks leaning on guys like Nick Foligno, Dickinson, and those older kind of guys, even Seth Jones to a degree. Like, those are the important people in laying the groundwork for the Bedard and guys around his age and setting the Blackhawks up for success long term.
All right, Pete, you've been over generous with your time, man. We appreciate it. Want to let everybody know, if a game goes to overtime, what chaos is going live? Is that the plan throughout, or are you revisiting after just one game so far?
No, we're not revisiting. We're moving forward with that plan. We have some funny things planned for the next overtime stream or streams, but every time a game goes into an extra frame, you'll find us live on YouTube for however long that overtime lasts, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 3 minutes, whether it's 4 hours. Let's get weird and let's watch some overtime hockey.
I hope both early games and late games go to overtime at the same time tonight. I mean, that is chaos, and it's in your show, so let's see what happens.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's not Bruins Leafs, because you will see me in the most vulnerable and chaotic state that I could possibly be in.
You're going to morph into Steve Dangle all of a sudden.
Even better. All right, Pete, we'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
That's Pete Blackburn from the What Chaos podcast. Make sure you're following them on their YouTube channel and on your favorite podcast app as well. And boys, I need a Coors Light, because the baseball news is rolling in, and Cody Bellinger has a fractured rib.
Ooh,
ouch. Pete Crow Armstrong has been called up. So that's not great. So I'm going to crack one of those open when the show's over.
I'm sure Cody Domendo is taking this rationally and in good spirits.
I can still see the beer bat. He hasn't crashed in like Kool-Aid Man and stolen the beer bat to get over.
I heard some footsteps up on the roof. Hopefully,
oh, God, no.
Hopefully it's just the workers.
Well, between work and social media and the Cubs injuries and the choices life throws our way, yes?
He said, I will quote him from our Slack channel, I'm going to jump into the lake.
Okay. Yeah.
Which sounds nice, actually. Refreshing.
Refreshing.
Just make sure you don't do it where the Bears are building a new stadium.
Probably going to be chilly. Yeah.
I mean, it's April. It's not September. It's April. It's going to be fine.
It'll be fine. Yes.
And well, PCA is like good, right?
He went crashing into a wall the other day too. Oh, it's becoming a trend around these parts.
Stop crashing.
They're all Eloying it. No.
Don't say it. I don't know where wood is. Is this wood?
I don't think
oh,
so.
Oh, God. Anyway, there's a lot of things that stress us out throughout the day. And to take that edge off, go home, chill out, take a deep breath, and when you're done, crack open that Coors Light. Make the choice to choose chill. Reach for a Coors Light. It is mountain cold refreshment. It's awesome. We love it. It's here every game. It's here every show. It's in the fridge. It is fully stocked. And that's why I'm most of the time, when I'm not reading Cubs injury news, I'm pretty low key, feeling pretty good about things.
Maybe we'll crack one with Foligno tomorrow.
Yeah, Nick Foligno tomorrow at noon. I'm sure he'll crack a Coors Light. It's light beer, by the way. I mean, come
on. It's good for you.
It's basically a salad.
It's healthy.
And when the mountains turn blue, it's as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish when you embrace a chill mindset. It's a good time to choose chill and crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Make the most out of the times you choose to chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO Hockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Well, if you are,
could be.
Listen up, because we've got great news for you. Our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram.
Deep breath, Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a brand new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for just $439 a month for only 39 months. Mm. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, if size does matter in your world, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for just 39 months. That's not an L. That's a big W at that price at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram.
You'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect, thanks to Ray's price promise. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram
makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, you beautiful, wonderful people out there.
What about me?
And watching.
I mean, sure, you can't all right, do cool. it. You don't fit under that category. But you, too, can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 30th, and that's right around the corner. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, and you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and
Ram,
because they're the only team we recommend, visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, head over to RayCDJR.com. Serving the community since 1963, and they're fine with the old roads.
Yeah, they don't need to find anymore.
No, because you got a Jeep. It can go off road.
Right, off-roading.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we like just get Borat going, Ram? Is that how we get pulled off YouTube for doing that?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think he's saying Ram in that.
Well, he's referring to it as a Ram.
It's what it sounds
like. I don't think Borat copyrighted the Kazakhstan accent. I don't think he has.
That's true.
I don't think you can do that. So we could probably get away with it.
That's it. All right. Well, hey, we got some actual Hawks news. I'm telling you. The offseason happens, and somehow Hawks news continues to come in. It is official, not a surprise, but it's official that Seth Jones and Alex Vlasic will partake in the Men's World Championships coming up in May.
Yeah. Team USA. Woo.
Woo.
The first 15 players were announced for Team USA's roster.
It's a pretty good group,
it's
actually.
It's a solid group. Like, compared to, you know, other world championship rosters that Team USA has sent before, which sometimes has college players, unsigned college players, sometimes has AHL players or NHL veterans who are on non-playoff teams that they're like, yeah, I'll play a couple more games. This is a star-studded list. The forwards group, Matt Boldy, Cole Caulfield, Joel Farabee, Johnny Gaudreau, Luke Kunin, Dylan Larkin, Shane Pinto, Brady Tkachuk, Trevor Zegras.
Bust.
The defenseman.
It's true.
Luke Hughes, Seth Jones, Jake Sanderson, Alex Vlasic, and Zach Werenski. And the one goalie listed so far, Alex Lyon. Those are all established upper echelon NHL players.
Yeah.
Except for
again,
Zegras.
Except for who?
Zegers.
He's a bum. Oh, yeah. He's sure, a bum. Sure. So, I mean, look, like this is a Team USA team that, you know, winning gold at the World Championships is not as, it hasn't been looked as prestigious as it does for the European teams that compete each year. But, man, like, credit to Bill Guerin as GM of the Team USA for the Olympics coming up. He said, like, do not slight your invitation to the World Championships if you want to be, you know, have a upper hand in being considered for the Olympics. And all these players are probably taking that to heart, and they're going to be there in Czechia.
Yeah, wow. It's no coincidence that the level of player going to Team USA rises when all of a sudden the Olympics are back and the four nation face off next year. Like, it's no coincidence that these guys are like, okay, cool, let's do this. So, you know, and that roster will get more players added to it. Obviously, before a tournament, you don't even have enough players for a full roster right now. But as teams get eliminated from the first and even into the second round, you'll have some, maybe Connor Hellebuyck will be joining. So there's plenty of more options of guys that can go there.
It starts May 10th, so there could be some guys in the first round that get eliminated that say, I'll play some more hockey and end up still going.
I have one question. Why does Kaner hate the troops?
Yeah, why isn't he going?
Yeah, what the hell?
Him and DeBrincat.
But he wants to win championships.
Yeah,
no commitment.
That's fine. He's done his.
I'm kidding. If
international
obvious,
duties,
but you never know with people.
It is, but I mean, it's going to be fun because this is now. I mean, think about it. Like, it's been 10 years since you've had the Olympics. You know, there was what I think it was like the 20
crazy.
I want to say 2018 World Championships that had Kane and DeBrincat both there. Might have happened again after 2018, but that one sticks out to me that they both played for the World Championships at that tournament. But I mean, for watching the World Juniors the last couple of years, you've gotten to know Zegras and Tkachuk and the Hughes brothers and Caulfield and Boldy and all these guys. And now finally they're getting into their professional careers and you can get them onto these bigger stages. And you hear about like the resurgence of USA hockey and how it's closing the gap between them and Canada and the rest of the world and all this stuff. And in some cases expanding their gap in talent throughout the program. Like, now you can finally see it on these like biggest stages of the men's game. And I'm excited. Like, this is the first World Championships I'm actually like excited to see what Team USA does, not just like, oh, there's a couple guys here that are intriguing.
Yeah. Well, we had Seth Jones mention this on Saturday in the end of season presser, talked about the opportunity of playing with Alex Vlasic at the Worlds.
Do you see the Worlds as an opportunity for you and Vlasic to, I guess, just further develop, or just, I mean, since you guys were using the top pairing so much during the season?
100%. 100%. I mean, this will be my fifth one, maybe. I'm excited for Blasi that it's going to be his first one, and I'm not sure if we're going to play together or what the D-pairing is going to be there yet, but I'm happy that he can kind of keep growing his game on the world stage and put the USA sweater on again, and it's obviously, it's always an honor to go over there and play for your country. It doesn't matter what term it is or what time of the year it is. But yeah, I would like to keep building chemistry with him. I think, you know, toward the end of the season, we knew exactly where we were on the ice, whether it was offensively or defensively. And I think he took it, you know, one thing I loved about him is he was just as frustrated as I was this year. And that speaks volumes, especially a young player. He could be thinking about 100 other different things, just happy to be here. But I could see, you know, we always talked about the frustration level, and just continuing to get better and grow together was a big thing for us.
There he is, Seth Jones. Doesn't like losing. No, what a jerk.
No, but people don't want to hear that from him. Windy City Hockey beat me to the joke. No Brock Faber at the World Championship. So even his own GM thinks he's overrated. So there you go. You would think Bill Guerin would want his own guy out there. But he's got Matt Boldy, who Matt Boldy might be one of the most underrated players
Matt Boldy a lot.
In the league.
That last game the Hawks played with them, I was just like, for whatever reason, he kept catching my eye. Like, Boldy again. Boldy. Oh, there's Boldy. He
played one season in the AHL. I was still covering the Central Division, and I knew from like this, seeing him play with Iowa two games, I was like, yeah, that kid's going to be really good in the NHL. He's not going to be here long. So that's a pretty darn good lineup, and it's going to get better. There may be some guys that, I mean, maybe Brock Faber is gonna go, you know, we don't know yet. Heck, Maple Leafs bow out here in a few games. Maybe Austin Matthews heads over to Europe. Wow. You know,
that who knows? My money down now just in case.
A lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun, and these guys are gonna get to play on the Olympic sized ice, mm-hmm. more room, more be able space. To skate. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I know. Connor Bedard's gonna go. We know that.
Well, yeah, with Canada,
with Team Canada, so we get to see. You know, Jones and Vlasic try and shut him down. I mean, they've got some experience in that, trying to shut him down.
Philip Kurashev also confirmed Sweden. That he was going to go with Switzerland.
And it sounds like Peter Mrazek will be, it's in his home country, so Czechia, why not? Yeah. He'll be the goalie. And Bedard and Kurashev let us know that it's their main goal of the World Championship is to score on Peter Mrazek. So yeah. there'll be a lot of Hawks there. It should be fun.
I just loved Kurashev when he was asked the question, like, it sounds like you're going to the World Championships. Are you indeed going? And he was just like, yeah. Like, just if you know Philip Kurashev, like, just how, like, kind of like sheepish he kind of is in media settings, like, it was just so it was perfect Philip Kurashev moment. It's just this like smirk and like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, that's good.
Why wouldn't good I?
But yeah, it'll be fun, and hopefully Rockford has a long postseason, so Lucas Reichel won't be going to play with Germany, but in the hopefully unlikely case that Rockford is out early, it is a possibility that Reichel will go and play for Germany as well.
Because yeah, that's not far from home for him either. You know,
if he's
going home to Germany for the summer, why not stop at Czechia first and play a few more games?
Why not?
I hope he doesn't get that chance. I hope the Ice Hogs are still playing in June.
I do too.
That would be nice. This thing. All right, we got some Patrick Kane news, but first, what's with the likes? We have a lot of people watching and not a lot of likes, so let's do a like spike in honor of our pal Pete Blackburn. In 3, 2, 1, like that video right underneath the play button. Subscribed to the YouTube page as well. We got to get more likes than that.
My YouTube
went
back to the old YouTube.
Oh, there's got to be a way to fix it, I hope.
They went back.
Yeah, because if you have this newfangled...
I went to take away the chat to hit like, and it wasn't there, and I realized it was back
under
the
video. Oh, man, I gotta figure out how to make that happen, because I got the new one, and like it sucks.
My like is there.
Yeah, and they might have just reverted back. Maybe everybody hated it, and they said, hey.
Oh,
hey,
wait, that's Cole Komet.
Companies don't care.
Remember this thing that wasn't broken? Why did you fix it? Yeah, you're right.
All
right. Excellent.
Crisis averted.
Thank you.
I liked it.
Thank you, Tube. And so while you're liking it too, also set yourself a reminder on your phone in case you don't get the notification from YouTube. Tomorrow at noon, we're going to be on with Nick Foligno. He's going to be here in studio with us, hanging out, wrapping up the season, sharing his thoughts on the end of the year. So that should be good stuff too.
We'll try and get names out of him for.
Yeah, we're going to make him talk shit about teammates.
So, maybe Tyler former Johnson. Teammates.
Bark twice if it's Taylor Radish. So, yeah, he won't be doing that. But, you know, he's always great. It'll be our last official visit of the year. So make sure you're there tomorrow at noon on Thursday, April 25th, noon central.
I'll do my best to get us actually on at noon. I do have a doctor's appointment at 10.
I don't want
to
hear it.
We'll see if I'm...
How long of a doctor's
our show is more important than
you. Well, you know, you never know if you're going to be stuck sitting there waiting. And
get there early.
Don't they know who you are?
I know,
and what
right?
you do?
Right.
Get there early and then huff and puff in the waiting room. Yeah. Oh,
here's how you save time. Here's how you save time and fast track it. Show up already wearing a hospital gown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or
that'll get
and
done.
Nothing else.
Fake a heart attack. Yeah. There's so many ways. Bring in some bacon from Charlie to bribe him.
That's not a bad idea. I just finished up my last bit of bacon from Charlie. So.
Well, he said he's sending some for Nick tomorrow. We'll hope it gets to him. We'll see how that goes. Anyway,
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's see what Patrick Kane had to say today. He tweeted, "It's big news." I can't see that this far away.
It says, from Patrick Kane, at 88pkane, "Thank you, Red Wings, my teammates, coaches, and all the fans of Hockey Town for welcoming me and my family with open arms this season. This past year gave us memories we'll never forget. The work doesn't stop. Hashtag LGRW.
Be gone.
Yeah, pair that with his with his end of the year media availability, yes, and the Detroit Red Wings, Patrick Kane, as many seasons in Detroit as Marian Hossa, so we'll be able to forget he was ever a Red Wing pretty quickly.
I already have.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that, like, 10 years from now, you're going to, like, look up his stats to write, like, a Remember When article, and you're like, oh, yeah, he played for the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that.
I think the Rangers
or the
might
Rangers
be more. Yeah, that's
the Rangers.
Yeah. Rangers, it was a shorter time.
Not really for Blackhawk fans, because he got traded there.
Right.
He was traded to the Rangers. True. They're probably, the rest of the hockey world will forget the Rangers, because that was shorter and not nearly as successful, even though the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs.
He actually played in the playoffs with the Rangers. Right,
I mean, he did everything that he possibly could to get the Red Wings to the playoffs, and they missed, and it broke my heart in two.
Yes, it sure did.
Yeah, but
really crushing.
When you and then he's not saying it, he's not coming out and saying it, but he pretty much is. Just
that sounds that's like a
when he said after that loss.
That's something you say as you wave goodbye and close the door.
Thanks for the memories. Not hey, looking forward to next season. Boy. After that last regular season game, he started referring to the Red Wings as they and past them tense. And they have a bright future and, like, things are going to go well for them. Right. Yeah. That's a guy that has got one foot out the door and is just waiting to pack up the rest before he leaves.
He'll hit the open market and that'll be interesting.
He will be out there. I still think there is a extended stay in Las Vegas in Patrick Kane's future.
A residency, if you will?
Yes, he'll be doing a residency at the T-Mobile Arena for possibly 2 to 3 seasons.
He can sign with them. What would really help is if he signed with them and then was like, my hip!
Right.
Missed the entire regular season.
Hey.
And then the final day before the regular season finale, he'll be like, you know what? The hip, it's feeling a little bit better. I'm going to get back on the ice. And then right before game one, he'll be activated. So they can sign him to whatever contract he wants.
Yeah. They always figure out a way.
Stay healthy and then come in for the playoffs.
They always find a way. And Tanvir's 12 asks about his dad. It's Vegas. Get him the hangover suite for the season and let him just hang out.
Sure.
I'm sure Patrick Kane's dad would have no problem living in Las Vegas for 9 months of the year. Sure. I'm sure he would have zero issues with that.
He could not tip plenty of delivery people.
Exactly.
Is that the rumor?
That was like before the cab incident. I was working at Channel 5, and that was near the tower that is named after some asshole. And there was a pizza spot inside
Tribune?
There. Yeah. There was a pizza spot inside
Tribune.
There.
What do you have against Pete Wrigley?
Screw you, Pete. But there was a pizza spot in there, and the guy, like, we went in there all the time, and the guy was like this you know, total dude, blah, blah, blah. And he told us a story about how they would always get pizza delivered up to their suite or whatever, and they would never tip. Mm. It would be like $41.69, nice, and they'd give $42. So
That's a privilege to deliver to the Kane family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, take this with whatever.
I mean, you're lucky they didn't beat you up and not pay you at all.
I'm just saying that then the cab thing happened like a year later. I was like, remember when that guy told us that?
I just
if he tipped more, he would have been captain.
I just wouldn't
still be a Blackhawk.
I just want people to think Kyle Davidson's not dumb. He doesn't. He knows Patrick Kane is a good hockey player. He knows he could probably make the team better. Read into it that the organization was not too shy about the desire to move on. I'm just saying. Like, and you don't have to be a choir boy. You don't have to be a perfect citizen. But I think hockey aside, there was a lot that went along with Patrick Kane and to a lesser extent, Jonathan Toews too. He has an ego of his own that they were maybe a little bit tired of dealing with. And we're very happy to be like, you know what? We're good. We're good. It's, thank you for the memories. You will have a statue. You will have a banner. You will be remembered here forever, but we're good.
Mm-hmm. And as Lucy says, Kane wants, he's not wasting his time. This was a, honestly, this was a waste of a season for him.
Yep.
He came back healthy. He played great, played up to the standards of Patrick Kane that we all remembered. And he's playing zero postseason games. He's not doing that again. Like he left Chicago because he didn't want to go in the direction of rebuild and went to New York to try and chase a cup. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to go to a team that is trying to play in the playoffs and win a cup. He's not going to waste these final years of his career. You know, he had the surgery, hip resurfacing surgery, a surgery that most players that have also had it don't play to the standard that he did this year.
Yeah.
He didn't do that just to come back to Chicago and handhold the next generation through non-playoff years. Like, he's going to try and go and win a Stanley Cup. So it's the reunion in Chicago is it's not the time for it. If he's still playing in 2, 3, 4 years, and Chicago is at the cusp of, you know, being a contender, and he wants to have one last hurrah back in Chicago, sign a 1-year contract
as a
super old veteran and play one more year in Chicago try and go for it.
Pull a Dennis Savard.
Yeah, he's gonna get his flowers one way or the other. He's already gotten them. I mean, he was cheered when he beat the Blackhawks in overtime. What more do you need? And like, just think about
not by me
too. Like it, me neither. What motivates Patrick Kane when he was here? Why was Patrick Kane the best in the biggest moments? Because the opportunity to win and compete is what drove him the most. Yeah. You would see him disappear during those regular seasons where the playoffs were inevitable, and it was, of course, they're going to make it, and they're the best team in hockey. And he was like, get me to playoff mode.
Yeah.
He's not coming back here to hold Connor Bedard's hand. It's just not. Like, this is what I said the other day. Like, for your own sanity, stop dreaming about this. It's not going to happen. Like, it doesn't make sense for the Hawks. It makes less sense for Patrick Kane than it does for the Hawks. Because, look, the Hawks are looking for a veteran scorer to play with Connor Bedard. Okay. Now that team's going to be in the defensive zone 90% of the game.
It's not going to be good.
There'll be some highlight reel goals for sure.
If
but
all
like
things were equal, sure. It on paper completely makes the most sense if you take all context out of it. But that's not how life works.
And Tanver says, please read the Scott Powers article about him hoping the Blackhawks would circle back to him after they won the lottery. He never really wanted to leave. The organization moved on, and that's fine.
Okay. That comment that is in that article, because I have had it sent to me, that comment is from last summer while he was still a free agent, recovering from surgery, and the Blackhawks had just won the lottery, and he said maybe the Blackhawks would have changed course to go bring back himself, Patrick Kane, and Jonathan Toews. That was at that time before Bedard had even stepped on the ice or anything. That wasn't this offseason. That wasn't before he signed with the Red Wings. That was last summer when it was still fresh that he was a free agent. And it was a fleeting thought. He followed up that statement with, but they've gone in a different direction and it is what it is. It's acceptance. It's acceptance that it's not going to happen. So as much as it'd be like, well, I'd love to win the lottery, but I didn't buy a ticket, so it is what it is. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So the romanticism of the reunion is not steeped in reality.
I'm just happy that I think for the first time in CHGO history, we had a Wesley Willis mentioned in the chat.
I did see that. Yeah.
I feel like like I've heard that name before.
You've heard that name. You don't remember Wesley Willis from the 90s?
No, no, I mean, I feel like we've actually discussed it.
I was going to say, I was like, law of all
buddy,
people.
A buddy of mine had a signed poster board. Of
Rock and Roll McDonald's. I just whooped Batman's ass. That's my favorite Wesley Willis song. Yes. That's a flashback.
Do we have some super chats to knock out before we go?
Well, we had the dangle. Dangle. He paid us a dollar. What did he say? Hold on. He said many things.
He said something about Kane.
Dangle.
I'm surprised. So he was going to give up his firstborn.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. There you go. He'll give up his firstborn for Kane to come back and retire after winning one cup with Bedard. Just don't tell my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got married, too. These are not statements you need to be making.
It's not a good statement to make.
Yeah.
And you paid for that, too.
A dollar. You paid a dollar.
Your wife's going to look at that bank account and be like, what's this dollar for? Oh, I should go watch the episode. And then you hear the door slam and the car peel away.
Any quick thoughts on David Quinn getting the axe today for the Sharks?
That was surprising.
That was a little bit surprising because they certainly weren't trying to win.
No, I'm not sure what he was supposed to do with that roster. Somebody asked earlier in the chat if that affects Richardson. I mean, as we've said numerous times the past two seasons, once there's a roster with some expectations, that's when you judge Richardson. Like
this upcoming season.
If there's Justin asked the question earlier, if they go out and improve and they bring in some veterans and they're supposed to be at least a 70 to 75 point team and they stay healthy and they still finish with 53 points, then okay, you have those conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can't judge him on the rosters and the health of the last two seasons. And I'm kind of surprised Quinn got the ad. There must be something behind the scenes.
Maybe they got somebody they want.
That or Joel Quinville. Maybe the players, maybe in exit interviews, too many players are like, yeah, this guy's too much of a hard ass. We don't like playing for him. And, you know, the players are going to be there for a long time. So maybe, help them out more. But I'm sure more will come out on why that happened. But it's not his fault that they were so bad. Look at that roster.
It doesn't make sense for it to be a results-based firing. There has to be something else behind it.
Well, look, like we clearly learned Saturday that there were some things that Luke had done during the season that the veterans like kind of questioned. Like, hey, our practices are maybe a little bit too easy. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit too long. And Luke took that feedback, and so did Kyle Davidson, said, cool, next year we'll adjust. We'll have a little more intensity, a little bit shorter. That's what you want to see. That's what you want to see from your coach is the willingness to listen, the willingness to adjust, not to be pushed around. But when you have guys like Jones and Foligno and Dickinson who have been around and have earned their reputations, you want to hear what those guys have to say, you know?
Yeah.
Nick Foligno has played for a lot of different coaches, and he knows what works and what doesn't.
And played with Luke Richardson.
Yeah.
And Richardson, too, has said that he trusts the veterans on the team. He trusts anybody on the team to have the pulse of the team and to be able to, have the players in the locker room speak for themselves and have that communication then with the coaching staff, not necessarily to have it be, coaches up on high and what he says goes no matter what. Like he's got the mindset of being a collaborative effort and allowing the players to have the runway to say like, hey, like we think our group would benefit from an off day or we need harder practices or whatever it is. And he's going to take that to heart and put into implementation. So I think for Richardson and for Davidson next year, I think we're at the season where criticism, critiques, expectations, they're all on the rise now because as they have laid out last weekend, seasons like this aren't acceptable anymore. So if there's another season like this next year, accountability is going to need to be taken.
And I think that was, I think saying, calling it a shot across the bow is a little dramatic and probably overstating it. But when Kyle Davidson was saying, we can't finish this badly again, don't think that part of that was not aimed at Luke Richardson too, is saying you've got your excuses. We know the team is not achieved, but this is unacceptable. We cannot have another year like this. Yeah. So we'll see. I think that if next, like you said, if next year ends like this one, Luke Richardson will very, very likely well, maybe not likely fired, but they'll be thinking about it. They'll certainly be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because coaches are hired to be fired.
And did he get a 4-year deal?
I think it was 3.
I thought it was 5. I thought they gave him a longer deal to make sure he was there through the rebuild and when they're ready. 4 years.
A 4-year deal.
4 years. Yeah.
4-year. Signed in June 2024.
We had one comment earlier about if we still want Mitch Marner on the Hawks because he's, quote, ineffective or invisible in the playoffs,
I'll
whatever
take
it was.
Mitch Marner on the Hawks.
I'll still take Mitch Marner. He's a non-factor in the playoffs. Yes, 47 points in 52 career playoff games. Bum. What a non-factor.
Sucks.
Yes.
What a ghost.
He's had 2 bad games because he's playing with bums on his line. But, yeah, 47 points in 52 games. He had 14 points in 11 games last year. Such a non-factor.
Is someone asking where I got my sweatshirt?
Yes.
I forget. I just Google shirt. Here, I'll do it right now. I think it's called Market.
Marketplace?
marketstudios.com is where I got it. Mm-hmm. I will warn you, it was way too expensive. I've never spent this much on a sweatshirt before. But
it's good, though.
Yeah, it's the Grateful Dead, and it's hockey. It's like, hey, Jay, we made a shirt for just you. You have to buy it, okay?
Yeah, but none of those sticks are broken.
I know. Well, maybe they break as time goes on.
As soon as you shoot? True.
They're all Sherwoods, yeah.
They all break when you have an open one-timer?
Right, they're not shooting at. They're dancing out of the ice.
Cool. And if you like Greg's sweater... you can get it at the CHGO Locker.
Yeah, I like that much better. That's a good
pizza
call.
Box. Wow. This is my favorite hoodie of all time.
And you I'm told me that. It's cool. I'm getting
I love it. I love
I
the t-shirt.
Soft.
I love
the it's not off-white. That heavy. The cream color.
Yeah.
I look forward to it eventually becoming a tie-dye with pizza stains on it, too. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's a pizza box, so it's only natural to have pizza like stains.
The grease marks.
Yeah, there'll eventually be some grease stains on
it. Yes, and no strings in the hoodie. I'm a big fan of that.
Oh, can't pull it tight.
You got a stringless hoodie too.
I'm not 4. I don't need to pull my hood tight.
I do.
Well, when the playoffs come around.
Well, then I've got playoff hoodies for
there
that.
There you go.
Then. Yes.
And if you like mine, you can go to your local Goodwill and get one for $5.
Ooh, nice.
All right.
Thrifting.
All right. Well, that's more than an hour. So
we're running low.
So smash that like button for us.
Nick Foligno tomorrow.
Tomorrow at noon, Nick Foligno. Don't miss it.
Liggy.
It's going to be a good time. Thanks to Law for running the show. Thanks to Pete Blackburn for coming on. Make sure you're following and listening to the What Chaos Pod. Make sure you check out their YouTube too. If you're a podcast listener only, their YouTube's got a bunch of like bonus content, extended interviews. It's great. Check it out, What Chaos. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at noon with Nick Foligno on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You're all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.